Luke chapter 15 this morning. Luke chapter 15. We're going to read verses 11 through verses 24. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the truths that the word of God have. Now, Father, we had asked that you would help every one of us under the sound of the preacher's voice this morning as he comes to hear what the word of God has for us individually today. Speak to us. Father, for this task, I pray that you'd anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power, using to help us today. Father, if there's one in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray today they would settle that. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, we're going to ask you to make sure all your electronic devices are turned to vibrate or turned to off, please, so they won't go off during the service. If they do, someone will step up with a club and beat you to death right here in front of God and everybody. Just kidding. But please make sure you do that. Now, I'm also going to ask you to sit still and listen very carefully this morning. Now, dear people, this is the great parable in the Bible that Jesus teaches. It's called the prodigal son. A certain man has two sons. The younger one comes to dad one day and he says, hey, you know what? I don't want to wait till you die. I want it now. Give me my inheritance. I want it now. And as soon as he gets his inheritance, the Bible says he goes off to a far country. And he spends all of his substance on riotous living. We know what that interpretation means, right? This boy is partying hard and living fast. A famine arises in the land. At the same time, his bank account is diminishing. The famine is coming. His money is going. About the time he's broke, he has a head-on collision with the economic bad times. Can't find a job, so he goes, the Bible says, to a man in the country where he is and gets a job taking care of pigs. Now, this is a kid who came from a house with an inheritance. Now, you have to understand that the time frame of the parable is somewhat important. A famine takes years to develop in land. Years. War, pestilence, disease, all combination of all three. But it takes years for a famine to break loose. So that means this kid got enough money on his inheritance to live for years and party. So he came from a pretty rich family. Now he's living with pigs. And the Bible says he's eating what the pigs eat. I always do this. You've ever slop hogs before? How many of you have ever slop hogs? Did you ever see that bucket that looked good to you? Never. I was a kid, I lived on a farm for a while. We had slop hogs. What we gave the hogs is what we would not eat. We killed chickens and stuff like that. You know, we clean them out, put the feathers, the feet, the guts, and all the parts in there, plus the scraps from the table and whatever garbage you want. That all went in a slop bucket. We didn't have to have garbage delivered. We had pigs. You take that slop bucket and dump it out there, pigs would eat anything. I never looked in that bucket, never one time, and saw something I thought looked could be tasty with the right amount of basil. But the Bible says he is not only living with pigs, he's eating what the pigs eat. It specifically enough says in verse 16, he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. He tried to make the pig thing work. And then the light comes on. Verse 17, and he came to himself. It's like all of a sudden, whoa, what in the world happened to me? I used to have the best of life. I am living with pigs. I'm eating pig food. The slaves in my dad's house, servant there means slave. The slaves in my dad's house have better than this. I'm going to go home and try and get on the slave side of things at least. I gave up my sonship here. So if I could just go home and tell my dad I was wrong. And he's not giving speeches now. He's serious. I'm going to go home and tell my dad I was wrong. But I don't deserve to be a son. Make me a servant. And he takes that long journey from the hog pen. Now, if you live with pigs, guaranteed you do not have a nice wardrobe. So he's coming home with the pig pen stain and slop and smell all over him. And my favorite part of the story is when he was yet a great way off, the father sees him coming. You know your own children's gait. You know their walk. Brother Robinson, I was preaching in Barstow this week with Brother Robinson, our preacher friend from Nevada. We had taken our wives to an outlet so they could go shopping. Never believed in purgatory till then. We'd sent them off. We were just staggering around trying to find something to do. There's all kinds of people out there, buses. It's out Barstow. You don't know where Barstow is. You got in the middle of nowhere and turn left. There's Barstow. And it's a stopping place between L.A. and Las Vegas. So there's all kinds of buses out there. Every nationality you could think of. I know I heard 6 different languages walking down the sidewalk in this thing. People everywhere. And all of a sudden, Brother Robinson goes, my wife's calling me. And I said, you're kidding me. And he said, no. And there they were about 20 feet behind us, and she had called his name. He said, I'm dialed in. I said, man, you're trained well. She got you really trained well. My wife's sitting next to me at the dinner table, and I don't hear what's going on. It's really bad, but you recognize the gait of your children, don't you? Their walk. He did. The father, while he was a great way off, he looked out there in the horizon. He goes, hey, that's my boy. And he ran to him. He started to embrace his son. His father, the boy, pushed him back. He said, just a minute, Dad, I got to say something. He said, I was wrong, and I'm sorry, and I shouldn't have done what I did. Would you just let me live in the servant's quarters? It's so bad out here, Dad. The father never acknowledges what his son says. He embraces him. He kisses his old slop-stained neck. They just have a time. Puts a robe over those dirty rags. Puts a ring of sonship back on his finger. He never stopped being a son, by the way. Not in the eyes of the father. Put shoes on those naked, dirty feet and said, kill the fatted calf, for this my son was dead. Now he's alive again. He was lost and he is found. I love this parable. It's got such, because it has a happy ending. I like things with happy endings. But I also love the parable because I see myself here. Do you see yourself in the parable of the prodigal son? You read that story. Do you see yourself? See, the parable is a truth that's drawn from an everyday circumstance or event in life. And every one of us, in one time or another in our life, we're the prodigal son. But as I was thinking about this parable, I thought to myself, why is it we always see ourselves after the fact? I was the prodigal son. We always see ourselves after we've been to the hog pen and after the fact, we read that. I love to preach this when I'm preaching at the jail to prisoners. Because, boy, you talk about dial right in on some needs in people's lives. But it's always after the fact we see the story of the prodigal son. It's always, look at me, it's always after we've been to the hog pen that we look back and say, yeah, I was there. I was there. Did you know the point of the parable is not to teach you and encourage you about having been to the hog pen? It is part of that. But the point of this parable is like anything else in the Word of God. It's to keep you from going there. Because know this, dear friend, this morning. Every one of us has the potential to be a prodigal son. Every one of us. See that verse there, verse 11? A certain man had two sons. Why are there no names in this parable? Well, you can't have a parable and put names in it, number one. Number two, he did that to show us it could be anybody. It could be anybody. It could be anybody. It could be anyone in this room. Not me. I'm not going to wind up in that hog kind of a hog pen. I'll never hit the bottom. Not me. No, sir. A certain man had two sons. Yes, it could be. Could be you and it could be me. Could be any of us this morning. The point of the parable really is to show us how to identify the prodigal in ourselves. And that's what I want to do this morning. I want to take just a few minutes today, and I want you to use the scriptures with me today, and I want you to look at the verses, so keep your Bible open, but I want you to identify the prodigal in you. Because know this, the end of the prodigal's path is always the hog pen. He doesn't regain everything financially, get it all back together, adjust himself, and get back to his party life. He goes to the hog pen. He has to go to the hog pen because he won't come home to the Father until he goes to the hog pen. The path of the prodigal is always the pig pen. Always. If we could identify some of the characteristics of the prodigal in us before we get on the path, before we wind up in the pig pen, we don't have to go there. How much better would it be to not have to eat pig food and come to the realization that we have hit the bottom in life? And oh, by the way, let me just say this now. Listen carefully. See, we think, well, yeah, okay, when I'm under the Clear Creek Bridge and I'm, you know, plastic bag for a jacket and I got nothing in life, boy, that's when you really hit the bottom. No, there's all kinds of pig pens. All kinds of junk that people try to live off and live on and all kinds of situations they get themselves in. So all kinds of pig pens out there. Look, friend, you can have a good job and a good income and still wind up in the same pig pen the prodigal son was in. The point is identifying the prodigal in me. So would you personally apply it this morning very carefully? Don't look across the aisle and go, there's one over there. No. Don't think of, boy, I wish so-and-so was here today because they really need this one. I mean, I'm telling you, they're a prodigal if I ever heard one. By the way, tonight, we're going to preach on the prodigal this morning and again tonight. But tonight I'm going to show you, what do you do with the prodigal in your life? You got a brother or a sister or a son or a daughter or a husband or a wife or a friend or a family member that's a prodigal? We'll use the same thing tonight and show you what to do with the prodigals. But I want you to apply it to anybody else this morning. No. I want you to identify the prodigal in you. Let's take the Bible and look at it. Now look in Luke chapter 15, please, and look very carefully with me this morning at verse number 12. You know how you identify it? What's one of the identifying characteristics of a prodigal? Verse 12, and the younger of them said unto his father, Gimme. Give me the portion of the goods that followed to me. And he divided unto them his living. Identifying the prodigal, number one in my life is this, self-centered choices. Self-centered choices. That's where it starts. Listen, the path of the prodigal to the pig pen starts with selfish living. That's where it starts. Give me now my inheritance. Young person, can't see down the road. Did you know America, my generation today in America is the most inherited generation in the history of this country. My generation will receive more money and inheritance from their parents and their grandparents than any generation in the history of our nation. People who laid up things for generations in some cases. In some cases, many years, they worked really hard to take and dump a fair amount of stuff on top of my generation. And you know what they're doing with it? Huh? Buying a big SUV they can't keep the gas in. You know what they're doing with it? They're running off to Hawaii with it. You know what they're doing with it? They're getting facelifts. You know what they're doing with it? They're blowing it on things that are going to last 5 minutes because they don't understand this. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the truth of the matter is I am like a prodigal when I make selfish choices in my life. That means everything I do is based on what does it benefit me? How does this benefit me? What do I get out of it? For some people, it's just living carnal, fleshly living. Immoral people, people who shack up, people who live in sin, people who live by carnal, fleshly type lives are simply self-centered people. That's all it is. They're just in it for what they get, what they have, what they want, how they live their life. It's just that way. Drugs, alcohol, those kind of things, that's just selfishness. It's not a disease. It's addiction to selfish living. Wait a minute now. Let's leave all that stuff aside for just a moment. How about you and me? Huh? Little white shirt Baptist going to church on Sunday. How much of our decision making and choices in life are made on personal gain? What do I get out of it? What's in it for me? You identify a prodigal in myself when I realize I do or do not do something based on convenience. Whether it's convenient or not. That's selfishness. Identify the prodigal in me is self-centered. Give me my inheritance. This always starts the process. Number 2, verse 13. He said, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Step number 2 to identify a prodigal in me is a hidden agenda. You mean to tell me this boy, when he went to his dad and asked for the money, he didn't already know what he was going to do with it? He didn't get a fistful of, hey, look at me. This kid was thinking about it, figuring on it, working on it. Look at me. I want everybody to look up here at me. This kid was sitting around thinking about it. He saw the stuff. He saw the possessions. He saw the cattle. He saw the fields. He saw the crop. He saw the benefit. He was involved in how much. He knew what his cut was right then. He wasn't just trying to get money to manipulate. This kid was getting money because he had a plan. He was going to a far country to get away from his father and to do what he wanted to do with his life. He had a hidden agenda. He had a little secret life going on, like a lot of people do nowadays. He's got this secret life. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing that's not manifest in the sight of God. Why do we think that there's no God in heaven? Like some, we are practical atheists. Yeah, but nobody saw me, so... No. God saw. And so many people today, they have a secret agenda. They got another life going on. A whole different situation than they live. After 29 years of working with people, I've just about lost the wow factor. Where I sit in my office and someone comes in and says, "Preacher, this is what I've been doing with my life." And then they tell me and I go, "Wow, you got to be kidding me." One lady came in one day, she started telling me all the stuff she'd been doing. She says, "Can God help me?" I said, "No, ma'am, you got a mess God can't fix. I don't know what in the world I'm going to do about that." And she said, "What?" I go, "No, I'm just kidding. Just never mind. I've never heard that one before. Just give me a minute, okay?" She went, "Huh?" And I said, "Whoa, I'll think of something. I'll make a phone call. I don't know what in the world I'm going to do with this one. This is a mess." I took a class in Bible college you had to take every day for 5 days, Monday through Friday, for 4 years when you were in Bible college. It's called church education. And in that class for 4 years, they taught you, took a church ministry apart piece by piece, and taught you how church is supposed to operate and how you do this and that. And I mean, 4 years of that. You cover everything you can think of. You know how many times I've sat in my office, at least once or twice a month, something will come up and I sit there and go, "They didn't teach me that one in church, Ed. I don't know where that came from." You know why? Because people, they think they got this life going on that's nobody else knows about. As long as nobody knows, it doesn't hurt anything. Ask John Edwards how that works. And I'm sorry for the man. I'm not sorry for his sin, but I'm sorry. I'm especially sorry for his poor wife. But people, look at me. The prodigal in me is that I think I can have a life that's a secret agenda type life. You can't do that. Because what happens to the prodigal? He winds up in the pig pen. This kid hasn't started. I mean, this verse, he'll start doing his drinking and partying, but long before he gets there, he's got a selfish thinking, self-centered choices, and he's got a secret agenda going on. Well, let's do this morning. Look at me this morning. We're all just sinners saved by the grace of God. Yes? Yes? If you're saved this morning, we're all sinners saved by the grace of God. I'm as much human as you are. I got as much flesh in me as everybody else does this morning. We're all sinners by the grace of God. Saved by the grace of God if you've trusted Christ. But dear friend, there's nothing you can hold in your life, in your heart, and have a secret life that will not eventually show up and everyone's going to know. And God already does. But the prodigal thinks, you know what? I get my old man's money. I'm out of here. Already got a plan. Identifying the prodigal in me, number three, means this. Look at verse 14. It says, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want. Number three is he ignores his surroundings. I mentioned it a moment ago concerning a famine. It doesn't happen overnight. You don't go from bountiful crops, lots of water, good health. The next day, nothing grows, no water, everyone's dying. That takes years and years and years and years. This kid is so busy with himself and his agenda, he's not paying attention to what's going on around him. Friend, listen to me. Identify the prodigal in you. When everybody around you is going to jail, something's not good. When everybody around you is always without, they don't have what they need, something's not right. Look at me. Do you see it? See, I don't want to do that church stuff, you know, that church living, all that kind of stuff. Well, let me ask you a question. How are your worldly friends doing? Happy, huh? Happy? Only happy when they're drunk, only happy when they're high, only happy when they're getting what they want. But other than that, what do they look like? See, the prodigal's not seeing what's going on around him. He's not looking at the surroundings of his life. So how is it going? You got a job, you go to work tomorrow. How's it going with those people who make fun of you for being in church Sunday morning because they partied all week long? So how's it going with them around the water cooler? Can't keep their life together, can't keep the marriage together, can't keep the family together, can't keep anything else going in their life, but they think something's wrong with you. Excuse me. I'm nobody and I'm nothing, but by the grace of God, just one happy man right here. I'll pillow my head tonight, lay down and go to sleep real quick. Why can't we see that and what's going on around us? Come on, folks. Look, get on the party crowd this morning for some reason. But how come they can't have a party without liquor and without drugs? How come? Seriously, most of these people sober. They should be drunk because sober, they got the personality of a fire hydrant. They can't even laugh and have a good time until they got a couple drinks under their belt. Look at me. How sad a crowd is that? Look at me. If God's good to me today, I'm going to eat me some Popeye's fried chicken this afternoon. Glory to God. Spicy Popeye's fried chicken with red beans and rice and them buttery milk biscuits. Good night, let me keep in English. And I'll have a different hangover when I'm done, but you know... I go look at the chicken bones laying there. Poor chicken. I go look at my life and say, oh man, my life stinks, but I don't want to do what you're doing. Oh, look, there's a good concept. This guy's not seeing it. The famine's coming, his money is going, and he's not seeing it. Identify the prodigal in yourself. Look at me. Look around you at the people who are around you in your life. If their life is all messed up, can I ask you a question? Did they kidnap you? We want to get right in the middle of the miserable and wonder why we're miserable. Duh. Look here, people. This prodigal thing, this kid doesn't see it coming. Do you? Identify the prodigal in ourselves. He ignores his surroundings. Identify the prodigal in ourselves. See, look at verse 15 quickly. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed. Why doesn't he go home right there? He's lost it all. Say, well, you know, he's too proud. Yeah, see, that's the problem, isn't it? He won't, look at me. This guy will not repent. He'll get to the pig pen and try to make pig food work, and he won't repent with that either. Look, he's in the far country where he lost it all, and now he's going to join himself to a citizen of that country. Why is he staying there? He'll figure it out in a minute. Yeah, not a minute. No, he'll go all the way down. He'll get to the very bottom of everything. Because you know why? This guy won't change his direction. That's what repentance is. Repentance is changing. It's turning. Contrary to what Mrs. Smith thinks, you cannot turn a Ford into a good car unless you melt it down and make it a Chevy. Then it might be a good car. But other than that, or some other car, or an American-made Japanese car like I drive. You know, one of those things. But the truth of the matter is, that's what repentance is. Repentance is, I'm going this way. That's wrong. Turn it. I'm going that way by the grace of God. This kid's not going to do that. He's going to try and make the far country go. He will not change his direction. No repentance. Do you know why people do not get saved? It's not that they don't understand salvation for a vast majority of people. They don't get saved because they're not willing to acknowledge they need a Savior and turn to Christ and get saved. Their religion's in the way. I don't say, I don't believe in salvation by grace through faith in Christ. You know, you got to get baptized. You got to live a good life. You got to do the do's. You got to don't the don'ts. That's what I think. No, you're going to need to repent, friend. You need to turn to Christ. God loves you, and thank God Jesus Christ died for you and for me and gave us the amazing, wonderful gift of salvation. But you have to receive it like the gift that He paid for. No strings attached, nothing onto that gift. You don't put anything with it. You come like I did and everybody else that ever got saved did. You come as a sinner needing salvation. I was a sinner, I needed salvation. Now I have salvation and I'm a sinner who needs grace. But you got to come to Christ. That religion thing over here that I'm trusting, and instead of trusting Christ, I repent. In some cases, you got to repent of your sin. It doesn't mean you stop sinning. You got to acknowledge that what you're doing is not right. No sinner ever gets saved without acknowledging their sinners. I got to see that. You know what? You don't have to stop sinning. You don't have to clean up your act. You don't have to turn over a new leaf. You just need to acknowledge that's wrong. I turn to Christ. This kid, the prodigal in me is, I will not change direction. Well, I mean, I've been doing this for so long. That doesn't make it right, you know. Everyone else is. That's good. Wide is the gate and broad is the path that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life everlasting, and few there be that find it. It's not hard to find it. They don't want the narrow way. They don't want it God's way. They want it their way, and they won't change their direction. The prodigal in me is, I will not repent. Can I ask you a question, Christian friend? Christian friend, when was the last time you repented of anything in your life? Because remember what happens to the prodigal? He goes to the pig pen. Verse 16, this is the amazing verse of the whole passage. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine eat, and no man gave unto him. Stubbornness. Can I ask you a question, dear people? If you ever slopped hogs, if you ever did one time, you would think second about eating bacon and hesitate before you ate ham. I didn't say you wouldn't eat it. You'd still eat it because it's just too good. But you'd think, those stinking animals eat that junk and don't care. This kid is over here in the pig pen. He has hit the bottom now, and his attitude is, you know what? A little cayenne, some basil on that, that might come up a little. Kind of like single guys, you know? Single guy's philosophy is, if I put enough chili on it, I can eat it. Nuke it till it's glowing. Throw some chili on there and I can eat it. Right? All the single guy's going, yeah, it works. He's trying to make pig food work. This kid's stubborn. Stubborn. Hard-headed, knucklehead, stubborn. That's the prodigal in Mike Johnson. Stubbornness. He won't change direction, and he's going to try and make it work what he's doing, even when it's not working. Hey, folks, look at me. When you're in a pig pen eating pig food, it ain't working. You got the picture? It's not working. Well, I tried that, and that didn't work. So we just chase things today, and that's what, dear people, bless their heart, people are chasing the craziest things on this planet, honestly. They're trying to find something to satisfy themselves with in life, and they can't find satisfaction because there's no satisfaction without Jesus. But they keep looking. So they search this thing out, and they check this thing out. And now with the wonderful invention of Google, you can Google it and find out whatever that is and Google that dude to death. And if that doesn't work, you can Google this one. And all you're doing is wasting time, and you're marking time in quicksand. But I see the prodigal in Mike Johnson when I see a stubbornness that just tries to make things work where I am. But if it's not right, it's never going to work. And then, of course, you get to verse 17 there, and he comes to himself. Ladies and gentlemen, look here. heard a preacher say one time, he said he was in sin and insane. It's like he had lost his mind. His reasoning was gone. But all of a sudden, grace of God, this kid wakes up. Yes, I got it now. And he came to himself. And he thought, you know, that Oprah session, that episode of Oprah was, did it for me. And then right after that was Dr. Phil. And then, boy, did he straighten me out. And then it was Jerry Springer. And then it was, I don't know who all these people are. Then it was, and it started. Because then he found out it was his dad. I mean, that's what it was all about. It was his dad. His dad should have never given him his inheritance. It was his dad's fault. And if he had never given me that money, I wouldn't be here. So it's his fault. If you believe that, he's a government worker. But the truth is the government. You know, it's insane. No, and his mother's never mentioned the parable. But the truth is, this kid doesn't blame anybody but himself. The Bible says he came to himself. It means he kept coming back to himself. He kept trying to play the blame game, and he kept coming back to himself. Now, when he does this, ladies and gentlemen, it's the fulcrum now. It's a turning point. And from this point, the kid starts making decisions that destroys the prodigal. I will arise and go to my father. You know, the servants back home, they got it better than that. You know what he does? Look here. He makes no excuses. No excuses. Stinking economy! No excuses. Well, it was Thursday. You know, no excuses. People today, they're running out of excuses now, and they're coming up with some pretty bizarre things for the situation they got themselves into. This kid doesn't do it. You destroy the prodigal when you don't make excuses anymore. And then, it's interesting, he says, the servants back home have it better than here. Oh, now he starts thinking right. Hey, look here. He gets his thinking straightened out. The slaves at the house eating better than this. They don't eat this junk. Man, it's better back home than here. Oh, my soul! Every parent waits for that moment. When your kids leave home, you really wait for that moment. And your kids leave home, and they go out on their own to make their life. And they come home, and they hug your neck. And they hug your wife's neck and say, thanks, Mom. Never knew what a hassle it was to wash clothes, cook meals, take care of things. When it happens to you and your father, and they say, you know, Dad, I understand what you were trying to get across to me then. Yes! Yes! You just want to live long enough to hear that. That's also why you didn't kill them when they were younger, so you could let them live long enough to hear that statement come out of their mouth. He figured it out. This kid starts thinking right. Well, that'll happen to me. I mean, okay, things are messed up, but you know, I'll figure it out one of these days. No. You're still in the pig pen eating pig food. This guy's in the pig pen. His thinking's right now. You know what? It was better where I was when it was right. I need to go back to my father. And listen now, and they destroyed the prodigal because what does he do? He goes to the right person and does the right thing. And he's not a prodigal anymore. Goes to the right person, does the right thing. The parable is, the Father is our Heavenly Father. You and I, we're the prodigals. We go to the Heavenly Father and say, you know what? You were right and I was wrong. I want to get this thing straightened out of my life on your terms, not mine. No deals. No half in, half out. No, can I go back and visit the hog pen on vacation? I need a little hog pen tune-up about every 6 months. He was done with that hog pen thing. He was done with it. He went to his father and he went to the right person and he did the right thing. He got it right. Now that's what you and I need to do when we wind up in the hog pen. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.